We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who have come into nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much. Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward. It moves forward because of you. It moves forward because you reaffirmed the spirit that has triumphed over war and depression, the spirit that has lifted this country from the depths of despair to the great heights of hope, the belief that while each of us will pursue our own individual dreams, we are an American family and we rise or fall together as one nation and as one people. Tonight, in this election, you, the American people, reminded us that while our road has been hard, while our journey has been long, we have picked ourselves up, we have fought our way back, and we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
Earlier this year when, as a family, we were in Uganda, we had an absolutely fantastic time. It was an incredible experience. But at times it was also terribly frustrating. People would say to us, oh, this is just African culture. You have to get used to it. You'll get used to it after a while if you're here for any length of time. But I found the experience of working on African time really frustrating and difficult at times. We had a friend and a guide who was responsible for getting us around the country and for arranging our program and organizing my speaking engagements. His name was Mike, and here's a picture of Mike Mandali, a friend of Tim and Jackie Latham's, who's started up his own business as a guide for Christians to take them around the country. And I've got to say, Mike, for a guide who started his own business, wasn't always the most organized of people that you might have worked with. We generally knew within a large framework where we were going and what we might be doing when we got there. But often the details evaded us. Details like what time to go anywhere or how many times I was expected to speak when I got places, or what was expected of Claire and the children. I went somewhere to speak expecting to do a half-hour sermon once and found out I was speaking 5 times in the one day when I got there, and I hadn't been briefed on this at all, and so had to conjure up 4.5 hours extra teaching material once we got there. So we generally knew the big picture, but not always the details. So, for example, one day Mike had told us that we were going to visit a street children's project early the next morning. And then after that, after we'd had a look around and we'd met some of the people, we were going to get into our vehicle and travel about 100 miles up at the lunchtime up to go and visit a YWAM project in the north part of Uganda. So we got up and we had breakfast and we waited. Then we did some washing and walked into town and got some coffee and we waited. Then we read a book and we all sat on the lawn at the hotel and we had a family prayer time, and Patrick actually led us in a little Bible study, and we waited and we waited. And then about late mid-morning, somebody turned up and led us to the children's project, and we arrived at the children's project and were shown into a room and we sat and we waited for a bit until somebody was able to come and speak to us. And then we were shown around the project and we had a great time. And just as we were ready to move on, we got a message from Mike saying, "I've taken the car to get it serviced. We'll be about another hour." So we went and found a Christian coffee shop and we had a coffee and we waited. And then we had some lunch and we waited. And that's Isabel looking quite bored after about 3 hours in the coffee shop, waiting for the car to come back. And eventually, some point in the middle of the afternoon, the car appeared, and it hadn't been serviced at all. It had the carpets taken out and neoprene plastic coverings put in the bottom to protect it, in the car that was our car anyway, and off we set. And it was a very frustrating experience. And we did get in the car, and we did go to the YWAM base, and we did end up where we expected to go, but about 5 or 6 hours after we expected to be there. You see, we knew in general what the big picture was of where we were going and what was going to happen, but not the specifics of the journey along the way, not the specifics of timing and the details that we might quite to have liked to have known. And sometimes it was a little disconcerting. Have you ever noticed that following God can be exactly like following Mike Mandali? That you know the big picture, you know the big tasks you're called to, but sometimes the specifics of how we're to do it, God kind of leads a bit vague for us to work out and bumble through. And we believe that God is leading in a particular direction, but it seems to take a lot of working out to find out how to get there. We know where we're heading. We understand broadly the plan. But sometimes God just appears a bit vague on some of the details of how we're to work it out. We've been given the Great Commission and we've got the greatest commandments, and we know that our ultimate home, our destination, is in heaven. But how do we fulfill that commission in the modern world? How do we love others when they're not always very lovable? What are we meant to do day by day as disciples in a fallen and changing world? It's not always so clear in the detail of how we work it out. Today, as we start 2016, we're looking at some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which includes the verse which is going to be our verse for the year. Many of you will already have received these little postcards through the post. If you haven't, there's more at the back that contains the verse for the year. You'll see it on the banners behind us that went up yesterday. You're going to hear it preached on 3 times if you're in church over the next 3 days. It's just the verse that God has really put on my heart, and as I spoke with the elders as well, that we felt we wanted to share with the church for the coming year. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. Different versions of the Bible put it in different ways, but basically they all come down to the same idea. To steal the words of the rock band Bachman Turner Overdrive, and to steal the words of Barack Obama, who in turn stole them from President Roosevelt, who in turn stole them from Shakespeare. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Paul is writing these words about what God has prepared for those who love him to a church in Corinth that's in trouble. They've been greatly blessed in the past with conversions and miracles. Spiritual gifts had very much been in evidence in the life of the church, with tongues and prophecy and healings being commonplace. But now things have started to go a bit awry. Sin, pride, arrogance, and selfishness has crept into the church. And so Paul feels compelled to write to them while on his missionary journey to correct them and put them straight. He writes in chapter 1, "My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are divisions amongst you." Further on in chapter 3, he says, "You're behaving childishly, not at all mature in your manner." In chapter 4, he says, "I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children that you are going astray." He starts chapter 5 by saying, "It's actually been reported to me that there's sexual immorality amongst you, of the kind that even the pagans will not tolerate." And in chapter 11, a saddened Paul writes, "Regarding the next thing I wish to talk to you about, I am not at all pleased." This is from the Message Bible. "I'm getting the picture that when you meet together, it brings out the worst of you instead of your best." Here at Corinth, there's a church going through a difficult time. And maybe the members thought that the glory days were all behind and the future looked a bit bleak. The world outside is turning against the church in persecution, and the church inside is turning in on itself in division. And into this difficult situation, Paul writes, "Don't you know what was written in the scriptures?" In the book of Isaiah, we think he was referring to. "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." The church, which has been getting it wrong and going through a hard time, has this message spoken over them. Paul brings them this message right at the beginning of this letter to this church which is going so badly wrong. "Don't you know what God has got for you? Don't you know the glory, the future, the hope that's in store? And what's more, whatever you've seen elsewhere, whatever you've heard about going on in other places, whatever you've thought up in your dreams about what you'd hope for from God, for what God has for you, whatever you had imagined, it's going to be better than that. You've never seen anything like what God has already prepared for you. You've never, even in your wildest dreams, imagined how good it's going to be. God has more for you. He's not given up on you. This isn't the end. It looks as if things have been going a bit wrong, but there's better and more to come. And what's more, it's better than anything you could have hoped for or imagined. I honestly believe that that's what God wants to speak over Tabs in 2016. Keep going. Hang on there. Stand firm in your faith, because you don't fully grasp or conceive or comprehend what it is that I'm doing amongst you. My plans for you and my vision of what you can be are so much better than the visions you've got for yourself. My plans are so much better than anything you could have planned for yourself. And the things you've talked about in church meetings and discussed in elderships and prepared for in leadership, they're nothing compared to what I have for you. But the truth is, between here where we are, almost on January the 1st, and where God wants us to be, we might encounter the unexpected, the unwanted, and the unpleasant. From time to time, as we move from the promise to the fulfillment, we might say, "God, where is this better? Where is this best that you've promised us?" We might know that we're heading to a great future and a place of hope and joy. But along the way, there's always bumps in the road. And we want to say, "God, You didn't put that in the big plan at the beginning. It's a bit like that experience in Africa. It can be confusing and frustrating at times. We follow God the best we can, and we make sacrifices, and we work, and we do, and we give. And then things don't quite turn out the way we expected them to. We work hard and we make our plans, and then things don't always seem to go quite the way we expected. But God would say to us, stand firm. Keep going. Be faithful. I am with you. I have your best interest at heart. And my purposes and my plans are so much better than anything you could have hoped for. And just to finish, because I'm going to come back to this a couple more times over the coming Sundays, but just to finish tonight, I'd like to point out one thing in this passage. There's something that we could easily miss if we're not careful in our verse for the year, and we need to see it, and it's this. It's that the promise of God is actually conditional. It's not an unconditional promise that's just thrown out for all people for all time. There's actually a condition attached to it. The verse says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that he loves. No. I saw some eyes go up. It doesn't say that. It says that God has prepared for those who love him. That God has this glorious, great, wonderful plan for those that love him. And the word that Paul uses here is that word agape, the love which gives all, which surrenders all, which sacrifices all for the other. It's that love which gives all for the other person, which holds nothing back. The passage says that God's riches, his very best, which is beyond what we can imagine or hope for, is for those who give themselves to him, who love him, who pour themselves out, who agape him, who follow him and serve him. Our calling is to love God and to serve him and to follow him, even in the times when it seems tough or confusing or difficult. And his plan then is to bless us more than we hoped or imagined. We keep on keeping on, following God, and leave the rest in God's hands. And how do we love him? How do we express that love? How do we show him? Well, it's very simple, because Jesus made it clear. In John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And then in that little passage around the table, he explains what it means to keep his commands, to love one another, to forgive, to serve God. In John 14, 23 and 24, it says, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me does not obey my teaching. How do we express that love? How do we show that love? How do we agape God? Well, we keep his commands. We love him. We obey him. That's our side of the job. God's job is to do far more than we could ask or imagine. I began the evening with these words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And then this is the line I just wanted to fall on as we finish. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. What are you asking God for 2016? What are you imagining that he could do for us as a church? Because he can do immeasurably more. What are our plans as a body together? What are our plans as individuals? What are our plans as families? Because God in us, by his Spirit, can do so much more. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even begun to conceive what God has prepared for those that love him. What does God have for us in 2016? I don't know. I really don't know. If you told me on December the 31st last year about the floods and the migrant crisis, about planes being shot down in Turkey and war in Syria and what ISIS has done, if you had told me about what the economic situation, I wouldn't have necessarily believed you, because I couldn't even begin to imagine what the year ahead would have. What does 2016 have for us? I don't know. And neither do you, and neither do the pundits who've been on Channel 4 tonight looking forward and trying to guess what's coming. But I do know this, that in God's love, it's far more. It's far better. It's far more glorious than anything that we could hope for or ask for. That God's promise is that those that love him, he has more still to come. Amen. Let's close our time together this evening by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.